welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast.
Hi, I'm Christine Belling. I'm the Syosset Library Director.
And this is Jessica, Community Engagement Specialist and also a librarian.
Hi, I'm Sharon Long. I'm the head of the Teen Services Department at the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, I'm Stacy. I'm a Reader Services Librarian.
And our special guest today is...
Hi, everybody. I'm Annie Eubank, and I'm Associate Editor at Gastro Obscura.
Which is super exciting. So we a few months ago, we interviewed Ella Morton. I know it feels recent, but it's time is running strangely now. We interviewed Ella Morton from Atlas Obscura, which was super, super fun. So tell us a little bit about Gastro Obscura, and then I think we're like some of the bigger foodies at the library, so then we'll have at it with the questions.
Sounds great. So Atlas Obscura is our parent company. So we are their food vertical, which means we publish the articles and the videos and the lists about foods from around the world, the people who make them, and what food can really reveal about all these incredible locations around the world. And, you know, we've been doing this for about almost three years now. And it never ends. That like just around the corner, there's this incredible food custom, or this incredible dish that has this deep history to it that you'd never expect, and that can really tell you a lot about a culture or a location or a people. It's really incredible.
I'm just looking at like some of the New York has its own stuff, but then like we can get into some of the stranger stuff around the world. I see like this Brooklyn blackout cake, pickle soft serve.
A lot of people like blackout cake.
Blackout cake is big, but like pickle soft serve, for instance. Like, so do you get people sending these things in, or do you all get to go try all of this stuff?
So, you know, I'd say it's about 50-50. We do, like, we have these incredible users, and anyone can sign up for an account, and anybody can submit their local, like, the place that serves their local specialty. And so a lot of times, like, if we find out about something, like, we'll add it to our database. But we do have plenty of readers write in, like, letting us know about great things, or going in and writing up these things themselves. It's really a huge community experience. And I think that our database would not be nearly as interesting if people did not contribute their ideas and their photographs to us. So it's kind of this incredible community effort.
Yeah, I was going to say that definitely, you know, the photographs add to it so much. And like, you know, as we all see in restaurants these days, you know, people like, you know, taking their pictures. Well, actually, maybe not so much in restaurants these days.
Not now, but once food tourism is back on it's on.
I actually, so it's so interesting because I know that there's kind of this stigma against people who take pictures of food in their restaurant, like who eat with the camera first. But we actually love it because when we're researching stuff, we can look up online, like, you know, if people tag what they're eating and where they're eating it, we can see it too. Like, so, you know, people will be tagging their stuff in Thailand. And here in our office, well, I'm not in New York at the moment, but in better days, when we're in our office in New York, it's really wonderful to be able to see what people are eating around the world. So definitely, like, you know, social media has been this incredible boon for us.
I wish I knew about this or doing this beforehand when I did travel. Because you say about it, because like, I was like, I've been to Thailand and like, most of my photos are, aside from like landscape stuff, are like, look at what I ate.
I mean, for instance, before I was just kind of going through the website, and there's apparently like a really good canteen at a monastery in Malaysia that's being featured. You know, it's like, so how did you get involved in this?
Yeah, so I got involved in about October. I started in October 2017, and I was a fellow. So I started out just writing articles and doing research, and it was kind of my first full-time journalist experience. Although I'd always loved food, especially food history. So that was a huge part of my life even before I started working for Atlas Obscura and started working for Gastro. But I was there from the very beginning because we launched officially about a month after I started. And only later I became associate editor. And, you know, it's just been incredible watching this vertical grow into something like that people love so much. We get incredible like input from our user base and from like people online who just say, I love Gastro Obscura. It's taught me so much. We've heard that restaurateurs and like people in grocery stores, like, add stuff that we've mentioned to their stock because they hear about it through us. Or, you know, people are inspired to go try foods, not only if they're in Thailand or if they're in England, but in their own neighborhoods that they've never heard about. And so it's just been an incredibly inspiring experience generally. And I think I was talking to you about this, Jessica, but we were actually nominated for a James Beard Award this year.
Congratulations.
Oh yeah, it's so cool, especially because we've only been around since October 2017. You know, unfortunately, we lost. We found out yesterday. Well, lost. Oh. Like, the New Yorker won for their food coverage, and I think we can give him that. Like, you know.
So do you want to tell us about some of your favorite entries? And then if anybody else has any comments, feel free.
Yeah, I'd love to. So some of my favorite entries. So these days we focus a lot more on food places. So like spots on the map where people can go eat wonderful food. So I'll share one of my favorite food entries with you, and I'll share one of my favorite place entries with you. And both of these have like addresses where you can go to the restaurant or you can go try the food. But I think one of my favorite entries was I wrote a couple years ago about an apple called an épi-étoile apple. And if you see these, I'm kind of fascinated by apples, but these are apples that grow. They're kind of flat. They're almost like they're very squat apples, but they grow in a star shape, which is why they're called the étoiles, which is star in French. And they're like something out of a fairy tale. And, you know, if you cut an apple open, like not straight through its core, but like from the side, if you open it up, you can see that there is like a star in the middle, but like this apple kind of grows into like a kind of a fat rounded star. And, you know, it's beautiful. And one of my favorite place entries, I'm from the California Bay Area. And when I was younger, I went to this restaurant you guys are librarians, you'll love this. I went to this restaurant in Salinas, which is a town around here. And Salinas, as you guys might know, is John Steinbeck's hometown. And he grew up there. He really wove, you know, the experiences of his childhood into many of his books, like the farm up that like the red pony is set, like that's still there. Like, you know, not much has changed since he wrote there, and his home is still there, the home where he was born. And it's been turned into a restaurant by a local women's group. And this restaurant is it's meant to like showcase local produce, and it's been there since the 70s. And this restaurant that's in like John Steinbeck's childhood home it serves local produce, but it also, like, all of the funds from the restaurant go to preserve John Steinbeck's house.
That's so cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's an amazing place to eat. It's like an amazing place full of history. And so, you know, with stuff like that, where food and place really intertwine, is what we're all about. Especially, you know, like things that you might, you know, there's nothing worse than going to a place and missing something really cool that you might not have known about. And so that's kind of our mission, is to kind of bring interesting food and bring interesting place to people, kind of on the same plate.
So on the website, the Gastro Obscura website, it does say, you know, we love delicious food, but we aim to be explorers rather than gourmands, seekers rather than Epicureans. And so it's like, I guess that kind of ties in, you know, with like the, you know, you're, we love delicious food, but it is about, you know, the experience of where you are, you know, and looking for those experiences and just, you know, tying those two together. You know, like, you like the food, but you like where you are too, and that experience.
Exactly. And so in a lot of cases, you know, we write editorial articles, and we write these little entries based on, you know, some foods that are very historical or very traditional. And in some cases, they might not really appeal to the modern palate that much. But that doesn't mean that we should, you know, not talk about them. You know, they're interesting in other ways. And, you know, they might, if you don't try them, you'll never know if it appeals to you or not. And so, you know, we try to be as broad-minded as possible when it includes, you know, something that we might not want to eat, we'll still write about it. And we'll still try to tell you where you can try it if you're interested, you know.
Just as far as like with everything that's happened with the pandemic, have you changed your website content to reflect anything like that, about like places for takeout or anything?
That's
different?
A good question.
That's a great question. So yes, we actually have been really actively changing how we present our content to the world. We don't really want to encourage people, you know, it kills us because, you know, our whole mission is to get people out in the world, but that's not a great idea right now. It's not safe. And so what we're doing instead is we are telling you, for example, our current fellow, Luke Fader, he just wrote an article about places where you can, like, really fascinating, like, independent restaurants in New York where you can get takeout and support a business that is doing something really special. And so stuff like that is, we think, is really important because we want all these places to still be there when like travel starts up again, when going out to eat in a restaurant starts up again. We've been posting a lot more articles lately that include recipes, which we didn't really do before because our whole mantra was like, get, you know, go to this place, try this thing. It was, you know, we did have some recipes, but we were not so much a website that was actively encouraging people to cook, so to speak, which kind of makes us, you know, a little bit different than a lot of food websites. Right.
And a lot of sourdough recipes, by any chance?
So many sourdough recipes, you know. Yeah. You know, the food world is going to be changed profoundly by what's happening, and we're kind of trying to envision what that would be like for our audience, and trying to give them the tools so they still can feel like they're exploring and experiencing the world, but from inside their homes.
I wanted to, before when you were talking about, you know, you don't know, obviously you don't know if something you like is, you know, you are going to try you like, because it might not be for a certain palate. I mean, I'm just remembering back to when I was a kid, and you'd watch things about goat cheese, and goat cheese was always a joke, you know, like, oh, I'm going to make this with goat milk. I'm going to make this with goat cheese. And I don't know how I lived my whole life without goat cheese. It's amazing. And if I hadn't been like, okay, I'm going to try this, you know, and now everything great has goat cheese on it. So I would imagine that translates just to the general world of food and, you know, what we might not consider eating.
Absolutely. And, you know, certainly there's been some things that, you know, I've written about or that I've experienced that I have not particularly like enjoyed, so to speak. There's a very, I forget what city it's from, but there's a kind of liquor called Malort, if any of you have tried that.
I was looking at it under your page that you like, the things that you've tried, and I was wondering, how do you pronounce that, first of all? But then, yes.
And, you know, it's very strong. It's very strong, and, like, it has a very interesting taste. Man, I need to look up where Malort is from. Like, it's like a rite of passage in Chicago.
In Chicago, that's what it says. Like, that's where they normally drink it, right?
And there's literally something called Malort Face that people film themselves drinking this.
That's really funny to picture.
And like, I took a huge sip of it in the middle of my office, and I felt sick to my stomach for the rest of the day.
It's a liquor, or is it like a cocktail?
It's just a liquor. And it's very, and like we had a bottle. We all tried like a sip. And for me, you know, never again, like not to my taste. And so, yeah, there's all kinds of, but you know, if I'd never had tried it, I would have known that I did not like it.
And I'm looking up the history of Malort, and it looks like it started during Chicago during Prohibition. It was like a homemade brew. So
yeah, it tastes like it.
Wow.
Yeah. I noticed it's tagged on the website as controversial cuisine. So I'm clicking on that.
It caused a lot of in-office controversy too.
And the first thing that came up was death noodles. Hello.
Oh.
The world's spiciest noodles. Oh, okay.
Okay.
I love spicy food, but I would never be able to.
What could death noodles be?
Yeah. Disgusting food museum.
I love spicy food, but I think I would cry if I tried the death noodles.
So where are the death noodles located?
Jakarta? I think that's what it said, Jakarta.
Oh. That sounds right to me.
Yeah.
These days we're taking a lot of our experiences and editorial content online. So the other day I interviewed the man with the world's largest hot sauce collection. Just from his living room. And, you know, he has about 9,000 bottles of hot sauce in his living room.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, people loved that video because we were just taking them into this room where, you know, he's a really great guy, and he's been collecting hot sauce for 20 years, and it's his passion. But one really interesting thing about this current situation that we're in is that we have had, like, it hasn't really slowed us down in a lot of ways. Like, mm-hmm. we're doing lots of videos with these amazing people, and we're having them like take us around their homes and like show us their awesome collections. We have this whole, usually in better times, we offer experiences where people can go hang out with like magicians or academics and like who can really like show them something really interesting about the food world. And we've even taken those experiences online. So coming up, we're having this experience where this guy will show his collection of 1,500 pizza boxes that he's collected over his entire life.
What has the response to that been? I mean, that's amazing. And you always hear, you know, people talk about driving and seeing the world's largest ball of twine. But this is like, let me invite you into my house and show you like this crazy. Yeah.
It's I wonder about the really space positive. Requirements for that, though. You know, like
you yeah. know, like that experience is coming up. I think it's in June, and I know I will be attending because I want to see what kind of shelving he has set up. You know, are they all yeah, like, stacked I'm, in his garage?
Yeah, it makes it just. I immediately think of like hoarders with that, but. Because, like, just stacks of pizza boxes. You know, I'm really curious.
Yeah. You know, it's, I think it's a, in a lot of cases, it's a thin line, you know, like, I know a lot of my clients have probably, like, moved over into hoarding at this point. but, you know, people really like our experiences. We have this whole initiative called Wonder From Home right now, where we're publishing a ton of articles and we're, setting up all of these online Zoom experiences so that people are lonely. People are hungry for contact. People are hungry for stimulation. People are always hungry for food. So it's been really well received just because, you know, we don't stop being human during all of this and people still want that kind of human connection and that sense of wonder. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I think a collection of 1,500 pizza boxes is pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
We just have such cool stuff coming up. Like, we're going to have an event later on this month. The month is almost over. Soon. where, you know, where this mixologist from San Francisco is going to teach people how to make the ancestor of the martini, which is a cocktail called the Martinez. And, you know, I know a lot about food, but I had never heard of that. So it's just, it's really cool.
And his boring friend, the Martin.
that's the non-alcoholic version. Right. Of it. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to have
a mocktail.
It's water with an olive. That's cool. It.
Typical
not
Martin.
Not shaken, not stirred, just Martin.
Typical Martin. Nice, Sharon.
Very
that's
nice.
Really interesting. I think you brought up a good point of that people are hungry for content, especially in times like this. Like, I know things are slowly reopening. I was just listening on the radio about that. But even at home, like, a lot of people, we've spoken to authors and other people in the past of like, oh, a lot of people haven't been reading. But I think what you guys offer is awesome because you not only have the experiences, but you have content that they can learn from or like add to be like, hey, when travel opens up, I want to travel to like wherever, you know, to Jakarta to get death noodles and like test myself or something like that. Me personally, I would never. I don't want to be crazy. I'm really pale as you could see. And I just turned really red. So it's uncomfortable. But I think that's really cool that you offer the different stuff because I've noticed that like if I just need to like kind of take some space like of usually it's I'm like let's watch food stuff and explore the world from my couch.
There's something just really nice and I hate to use because I feel like it's overused at this point but cathartic just about watching something involving food, somebody cooking, mm-hmm. people, you know, just talking about food because it's comfort, you know.
Yeah,
I think, you know, food is one of the few things that all people have in common with each other. So it's definitely, I think it's kind of like one of the very relatable things. And, you know, I personally, I love watching any kind of food content, any kind of food video or recipe video, because I know I'm always like, it's what, like we all have to eat, you know, at least a couple times a day. And so it's just really like, I feel like our, you know, our human brains are like always looking for like something new to eat or something like a new way to do things. Mm-hmm. And so I totally, you know, I've been, there's this Chinese YouTuber by the name of Li Ziqi who makes these incredible food videos from her home in Sichuan province. And I think I've watched every single one of them and because they're just so beautiful and so inspiring. So, you know, I definitely can relate.
Certainly. Do you have any other favorites that you'd like to share with us? Anything?
Or any non-favorites.
Or any non-favorites. There we go. What's the next, was it Malott? Now
Malort.
I'm here. Malort. What's another Malort?
Oh gosh. Another Malort for me. Let's see.
I hate to go negative, but
no, it's all good. So in New York, there's this espresso flavored soda.
Ooh.
And it's a huge favorite. And I love coffee and I love anything fizzy, but this espresso flavored soda is 100% not my favorite. Like it's what is it called? It's called like you know, it's been around for like 100 years.
I know, I've seen it. I know.
It's called the Manhattan
I've seen
Special.
It.
It's called Manhattan okay. Special. That's it.
Interesting.
And you know, it's a coffee flavored soda. Should be everything I liked, but like I drink it and it kind of tastes rubbery. It kind of gives me like a ham flavor. And yes.
Rubbery ham.
Well, like,
fizzy cold rubbery ham. And so that's like, you know, it's something that's it's so beloved, but like I've never really been able to stomach it. And you know, gosh, you know, I spent so little time thinking about the foods that I dislike that this is quite a hard exercise for me.
Well, tell us something else that you like.
Yeah, we'll take favorites.
Oh, man. What is one of my favorites? Something that's really cool from my home state of California is that we also have our own style of barbecue here. That is not very well known outside of California. It's called Santa Maria style barbecue. And what it is, it's a cut of meat called the tri-tip. It's beef. And the tri-tip, usually it's cooked like, it's cooked over a special kind of wood and you eat it with like beans, but they're not baked beans. They're like these little pink beans and this chunky salsa. And it's a very, you know, it's sort of super local. And, you know, I grew up eating it because my dad used to make it. And then, you know, it was only after I got to Gastro Obscura, I was like, do you all know what tri-tip is? And a lot of people were just like, no, I've never heard of that. And so it's just like, okay, interesting. So there's something there. So I love that. You know, one of the most popular things on the site is whenever we talk about sweets or pastries, as you definitely might imagine. And so just like anything in that regard, you know, there's just so many like beautiful sweets from around the world, like just in every color, flavor, shape you could possibly imagine. I tried black licorice ice cream once from Finland and I really liked it.
Huh. Wow.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd try it cause I don't like licorice. But
I think you should try it. You never know.
I'd say I'm fairly open to trying things. I used to be way more adventurous just because I stopped, even before like the whole pandemic, I stopped going out as much. But like I've tried foods that I know people are like, I mean, not that any listener could see the face I made for that, but it was like a kind of like, why would you eat that? I've gotten that from my mother-in-law when I told her what I had at a restaurant once.
Oh, man.
She's like, really? And because I forgot where it is. I don't even know if it still exists because this was years ago. It was a northern Spanish tapas place in the city that I went to for a friend's birthday. And we tried two of the dishes that I know people would not willingly try. We tried rabbit heart. I forgot how it was prepared, and Rocky Mountain oysters, which are,
listeners, you can look that up.
I was like, I don't know if it's like appropriate, so I'm not saying it. It's anatomy of a bull that most people that only
use your imagination. It's that.
and I've tried it, and I was just like, all right, this is interesting. I tried it. I mean, I've tried bugs before.
Mm-hmm. So
that's been an experience because I know a lot of people are all on like cricket protein. I'm like,
alternative meats.
Yeah, I will say I will never try tarantula though. Ugh. That's a hard no.
I've heard it's quite crispy when you deep fry.
Oh no.
The little legs.
This has been really, really cool. We only have a few minutes left. Does anybody have anything they want to add before?
I just wanted to comment on the frog eye salad. the picture is very interesting. And I'm not like like crazy into sweets. And to me, I don't think that's like really something that I would be into. But I do think it you know, in reading the description of it, it really does seem something that would be like very local.
Oh yeah. So just so you guys know, frog eye salad is a pasta salad. Oh. No frog eyes.
Thank you for clarifying.
Like, yes. It's a sweet pasta salad that it's like a Midwestern thing. Oh, I think there's maraschino cherries in it, you know, like very creamy.
Interesting. All right. And
so super local. So I know all about this because one of my coworkers once brought in a humongous bowl of frog eye salad for us to eat. And it's very dense. It's very sweet. It's very creamy. The pasta texture is kind of disconcerting because it's so sweet. But it's, you know, like the world's full of wonder. And that includes frog eye salad.
Like that it's a side dish and not a dessert. Like to me, that throws it off too. Because when you look at the picture, it looks very.
What would you eat with it?
Burgers. You're right.
Like burgers? No.
You know, my grandmother used to make a side dish Jell-O salad, and it's definitely in the same species as that. You know,
my mom still makes that.
Yeah.
Like an ambrosia sort of thing, right?
Exactly.
I guess. Yeah.
I love ambrosia though, but frog eye salad is a step too far.
Well, thank you so much for sitting with us, Annie. And this is great. And I hope that at some point, you know, we're able to interview you again, especially when things start opening up again and we can talk more about food tourism.
Yeah, I'm now hungry. Amazing. I just thought you all need to know that.
I was sneaking a few bites because it was just, you know, topical. <had to. laughs>
Well, if you all want to be even hungrier twice a week, we do have a newsletter that goes out that is roundup. It's a roundup of all of our stories for the week. It's full of amazing foods. It's full of amazing articles. I definitely recommend signing up if you want to see what we're doing every week.
Is that available to sign up on the website?
Yep.
Okay.
And you know, while you're there, you might as well sign up for the Atlas Obscura newsletter, which is less food oriented, so it may be less interesting to some.
But, it's extremely cool. Anything cool. You're all involved with is always cool.
I love to hear that. And you know, it was such a pleasure talking with you all.
Okay, so once again, this was
Christine,
Jessica, and
Sharon,
and Stacy.
I'm Annie Eubank from Gastro Obscura.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
Turn the Page.
Yay.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.